This case began when the governor came to me as attorney general and indicated that they had discovered some irregularities in some of the financial inner workings of the Department of Social Services. The governor's completely cooperated. We immediately assigned DCI to the investigation. The DCI worked with legislative audit, which is the legislature's auditors really tied to the appropriations process, to analyze what was going on. We ultimately came to the conclusion and brought an indictment and made an arrest for a theft of $1.78 million. These dollars came from the Department of Social Services child protection side, generally tied to things such as foster care. But it's a significant amount of money. Certainly the defendant is presumed innocent. She has been arrested in Iowa and is going through extradition process, being held on a $50,000 bond. And the case will progress forward. I would anticipate that legislative audit will likely issue their special report. One of the challenges of this investigation was there are various records retention policies. One of the banks that we worked with had a retention policy. The state auditor that ultimately issued the warrants, which is really a fancy word for check, also had records retention policies. So legislative audit could only go so far for the documents. The DCI had to go back in and recreate through, again, Department of Social Services cooperation, their records, the requests that were made for funds, ultimately the warrants that were issued, the cash, the checks that were cashed, and then the cash that was withdrawn and put in a separate bank.
That's really, I mean, obviously a lot of money, and over a very lengthy period of time. This must have been a fairly sophisticated process or not?
It wasn't complicated. What it boils down to, again, I can, because it's an ongoing case,
sure,
the defendant is presumed innocent. I can talk about the nature of the offense and the scheme that was involved. It's really with Department of Social Services at that time and during this period since January 1 of 2010, it would have an application by an employee for funds. There were two protections put in place for a supervisor to approve that. The problem was the same employee that was making the request was also serving as that supervisor. So that was one of the areas that there was perhaps a challenge. And then the process involved going and picking up the checks from the auditor's office, which allowed at times to circumvent the treasurer's office. And then ultimately, there were at times when certain funds were designated and that designation was changed, again, to make it a little more difficult to see.
Were these hundreds of transactions, I'm assuming, large, were they, or not?
Well, when you look at, this is a two-count indictment. The reason there's two counts is the law changed. The legislature changed the law with Senate Bill 70 in July of 2013. So with respect to the first count, which is the more serious count, it's a 25-year felony, there were 399 cash transactions. It has to be, and it's alleged, over $500,000 total. The other count that is from January of 2010 until that law change, July 1 of 2013, that only involved 172 cash transactions.
Have things changed now? Have they changed procedures to try and avoid this kind of problem?
You know, certainly the attorney general is responsible when the bank is robbed to come in and investigate and make appropriate charges, which we've done. It's really not my position to comment on change other than the perspective. I believe the way this was ultimately found by Department of Social Services, they were putting additional checks in place. In the process of putting those checks in place, it's where they found these financial irregularities, which, again, the governor immediately brought to my attention, invited us in, and has cooperated.
Were the funds ever intended for an individual? I mean, there weren't individuals that were missing funds, or was it?
All of the $1.78 million was designated and intended for Child Protection Service dollars. Now, whether they went ultimately or didn't go to a particular child depends on the case-by-case basis, but ultimately this $1.78 million was intended to go to children.
In terms of recovery, what are the hopes there or the chances that that could happen?
Well, certainly the first step is the defendant's presumed innocence. We have to deal with the guilt phase. We obviously look to motive. We look at financial records as part of an investigation. I would just generally state that there's not a strong likelihood of recovery of any significant restitution in this case.
Any idea of, was there any indication as to where the funds went or how they were used or not?
You know, certainly as part of the investigation, we were able to, through proper court process, look at banking records, including those deposits of the cash, the 399 transactions for count one, the 172 for count two. We were able to look at all those records, and it's just generally based upon that investigation and review, there just isn't a strong likelihood that we'll be seeking or obtaining $1.78 million in restitution.